Psalm 119. Psalm 119. As we journey yet farther into this glorious Psalm of Psalms, we come yet once again to another pearl of great price. Psalm 119. Let's begin to verse 17, read down through 19. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, already for the hymns, Lord, that we've been able to sing. And Lord, we pray the melody and tune and voices of the saints of God, Lord, flooded the streets outside this door, that, Lord, those passing by might hear the songs of Zion. Oh, Lord, I know they're strange songs to them that are lost. And yet, Father, Lord, they echo our yearning and longing as our children. Lord, that we might one day come home. Lord, we're strangers in an earth, Lord, where people do not desire God. We're strangers in a place that hates us, reviles us, afflicts us, persecutes us. And yet, Father, Lord, we find great comfort in the words of the psalmist. Though he admits to be a stranger in the earth, Lord, he beseeches you not to hide your word, your commandments from him. His only comfort as he pilgrimages and sojourns through this land. Lord, I pray you create in us that same desire this morning. Lord, we love you and thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. How do you read these words? Or better yet, how do they read us? Throughout the whole week, I've made a habit of, especially Psalm 119, of meditating and quoting the verse of Scripture we will be examining on Sunday over and over in my mind. And all through the day, and all through the week, no matter what happens in life, whether it be good times or bad moments, trying times or happy times, I'll quote that verse. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. And this last week, I'm a stranger in the earth. And they have an amazing effect upon the child of God when we give time to meditation and prayer over the word of God, applying it not only when we sit down in our studies and read, but as we walk through this pilgrimage, as we walk through life, quoting the Word of God, bringing it to our hearts and our minds. That's why I ask the question, how do they read us? When we hear the words of the psalmist, do our hearts bear witness to his wondrous declaration? I'm a stranger in the earth. Do they strike a chord within our heart and our affections? One which immediately stirs up a longing and desire for a better country that is in heavenly. How often, as we pilgrim through this world as Christians, in all the hectic and stress and hassles and responsibilities of life, how often do we consider ourselves as strangers? You know, one of our biggest problems is that we have trouble setting our affections on things above. We don't have trouble occasionally putting them there on Sundays or when we pray or when we worship, but setting our affections on things above, that they dwell there constantly, always. continually. Always having this thought in our hearts and our minds that we are but strangers in a world that knows us not, recognizes us not, respects us not, because we come from another land. You know, I spent over 30 years in Germany, foreign country. And though I could dress like them, there was a time I even had the knee knockers and the knee-high socks and the Bavarian outfit and a little hat and dressed like a German, spoke like a German, thought like a German, lived like a German. It didn't make me a German. I was still an American. And even though I could speak the language to some degree where people didn't notice that I was an outsider, there were times and moments when they could recognize, maybe in a way I spoke a word or the way I believed, that they knew that I was not from Germany. I felt comfortable in Germany, but I was never at home because I wasn't from Germany or German. To be a stranger in a land is sometimes a very lonely and solitary feeling. Especially those times when we find ourselves in the world surrounded by the ungodly and the wicked, and no brothers or sisters around to confide in, to have conversation with. Sometimes it can feel kind of isolated and lonely. And yet there's a strange comfort in knowing in our hearts that we're strangers in the earth. For many today, it is solely their orthodox views or opinions by which they claim sets them apart as strangers in the earth. I'm different because I believe different. I have a different opinion of others. And they say, that's what sets me apart. For others, it's their outward conformity of religious practices or duties. I do this, I do that, and therefore that sets me apart. That makes me a stranger. Sometimes it's their nonconformity to the things of the world that they say sets them apart. In other words, it's what I think, my opinion, what I do, and how I live. That sets me apart. That's not what the psalmist is talking about. What truly sets the believer apart as a stranger is what lies in his heart and affections. Because one can outwardly conform to religious practices. One could outwardly profess to know a lot about God. One could outwardly be nonconformist to the ways of the world and yet still be a friend of the world and not a stranger. And though these things have some evidence or some element of being a stranger in the earth, they do not of themselves set the true believer apart as strangers in the earth. But it's that inward longing and desire of our hearts and our minds for a far better country that is an heavenly, according to Hebrews, which testifies to our truly being strangers in the earth. So the psalmist isn't talking about something we can do ourselves, though those things are an element of being strangers. He's primarily speaking of what lies within his heart and affections. I'm a stranger in the earth because of what I love, what I devote myself to or who. Now, I wanted to get into what makes us a stranger, but Lord kind of led me in a different direction. I've heard a few sermons this past week on this text, and it seems like they all chased rabbits in different directions, and they got away from the context. They got away from what the psalmist is talking about. They talked about everything else except what he was talking about. And I'm going, they're missing the whole concept here, the whole truth here of what the psalmist is speaking about. We know that we're strangers because Christ calls us out of the world, right? We know it's because we are all born in the same. We'll see that at the end of Sunday school. We're all actually strangers in the earth. You know that? Every single person here this morning. We're all passing through this life. We're not dwelling here. We're all strangers. We're all sojourners. Some of us are going to heaven, and some of you will end up in hell. But we're all sojourners in the earth. We're pilgrims. You're only here a short time. So in reality, we're all pilgrims. But the psalmist is talking specifically about God's people. Christ called us out of the world. He gave us new hearts and minds. But with that said as well, you need to go back to the very core of what makes us strangers. You know what that is? And nobody that I've heard of so far touched on this in this verse. Namely, election. By divine election, we're made strangers. Though it is Christ calling us out of the world, giving us new hearts and new minds, but it begins, the very core of that, the very beginning of that, is found in God's divine election. From the foundations of the earth, we've been called. So it goes a lot deeper than that, of which I won't get into this morning. For one may appear outwardly to be a stranger in the earth, yet inwardly still holds the strongest affections and desires for the things of this world, with little or no true longing for that heavenly country. We see that in many instances in the Bible. One specifically that stands out is Judas. Judas outwardly did many more things than many professing Christians have done today. He walked with the disciples. He talked with Christ. He preached. He taught. That's what Scripture leads us to believe. And yet he was of the wicked one. So it's not an outward conformity or nonconformity of which the psalmist speaks. Nothing you and I do can make us strangers. That's what I'm trying to say. But many people believe their actions and their thoughts and opinions is what makes them. That's not what makes you a stranger in the earth. What makes you a stranger in the earth is God and your love for God and your affections for God and your love for God's Word, as we'll see. This was not true for the psalmist about nonconformity or conformity of outward things, who had just desired of God that he deal bountifully with him, that he may live and keep his word. Keeping this a little bit in context here. He says in verse 17, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Desiring as well in verse 18 that God open his eyes up that he might behold wondrous things out of his law. Therefore, because of these things, the psalmist would immediately declare, I'm a stranger because I love these things. I'm a stranger because I want to live and keep your word. I'm a stranger because I want to have my eyes open that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. These things make me a stranger in the earth. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments, of which he's been speaking in the first 18 verses of. Hide not thy commandments from me. I really want us to understand what the psalmist is expressing this, especially when it comes to hide not thy commandments from me. It's strange wording, isn't it, for some? What does the psalmist mean? God's hiding something from you? The psalmist says, don't hide them from me. Why? Because I'm a stranger. Because I need to know them. I desire to know them. He just said that. That I might live and keep your commandments, open my eyes, that I might behold wondrous things. Therefore, because I desire these things, hide none of them from me. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's an amazing request. Hide none of thy, not simply word, your commandments, hide none of them from me. Let me know them all. Even the ones that pierce my heart and expose my sins and my iniquities, as we'll see in Psalm 130. Lord, if you should mark iniquities, who shall stand? The psalmist knows something about the justice and holiness of God. And yet his faith enables him to come before God, before God's judgment bar, and say, yes, you have the right. You have the authority to mark iniquities. And if you did, I'd never stand, but there is forgiveness with thee. You see, a child of God is not afraid of any commandments of God. There's nothing in the Word of God that he shuns from. He wants to know all the commandments, even those that pierce into the depths of his soul. I want to know them all. It's an amazing request. His being familiar with God and his love and delight in the keeping, declaring, respecting, meditating, rejoicing, all the verses in the first 18 verses of God's Word, these things estranged him and alienated his heart and affections from the world. These things did. Not anything he did of himself. You see why this verse 19 is so important? Because everything he's already spoken about, how he loves the Word of God, keeps it, rejoices in it, meditates in it, delights in it, these things is what estranged and alienated his heart and his minds from the world, making him a stranger. This is what makes me a stranger, my love for God and his Word. Let me show you an example, Hebrews chapter 11. Christians think they need to do something of themselves to prove they're strangers. No, it's Hebrews 11. Listen to the Word of God here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Speaking about faith and the history of it, the hall of fame here of faith. Verse 13, listen to what he says here. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. There's the promises. They died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them. Now what happened because of that? And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Sounds like the psalmist. What made them strangers and pilgrims on the earth? Well, because they seen the promises afar off, they were persuaded of them, they embraced them, and that is what proved or evidenced or brought them to confess, I'm a stranger. Not because anything I did or I can do, but because of my love for God's Word and His promises. That's what makes us strangers. Verse 14, just for the benefit of it. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, okay, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But watch, but now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. What produced all this? What brought about this confession that they were pilgrims and strangers? Well, they were persuaded of the promises of God and embraced them. So you see, it's our love for God's Word and the desire to obey it, to keep it, to rejoice over it, to desire it, to delight in it, which makes us strangers in the earth. And beloved, that's more amazing than I believe a lot of Christians truly comprehend this morning. Let me give you an example. When you're out in the world and the world does something around you that you don't like or something that is sinful, maybe blasphemous towards God. And as Christians, we stand up to that and we say, well, we don't believe in that. We don't believe that's the right thing to do. You shouldn't use God's name in vain, or, you know, we don't do this or that or whatever. We do that out of our love for God's Word. Well, that brings great persecution upon us. When we live in a time where there's a lot of people profess to be Christians, say they go to church, and they have no regard for God's Word because they live their lives in wickedness and vileness in opposition to the Word of God, which proves they're not strangers in the world. Their hearts are stuck in this world. But as a child of God, who loves the Word of God like the psalmist and desires it, delights in it, he's going to prove that he's a stranger in the world because he loves the Word of God. Big difference. That's why it says here, they were persuaded them, they confessed them, or embraced them, and then they confessed that we're strangers and pilgrims because of our love for God's word. Their confession that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth sprang from their seeing the promises of God afar off and being persuaded of them, embraced them. It was their love and devotion and faith to the promises of God, which evidenced their confession that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. If you try to hold that as a touchstone up for many who profess to believe in God, we'd find out that many would fall short. Because the evidence of their loving God's word is not seen in their lives or in the way they carry themselves or their conduct. It's actually contrary to that. They do everything contrary to the word of God. But a child of God loves the word of God so much and desires to be conformed by it so much, like the psalmist says, hide not thy commandments from thee. Let me live that I may keep thy word. His desire and love to be so devoted to God's word makes him a stranger. Why are you so different? Because I love the word of God. Big difference. What the psalmist speaks of is not a casual acquaintance, nor of what Hebrews 11 speaks. It's not a casual acquaintance with God's promises that moved them in Hebrews, as well as the psalmist, to confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, but they're being persuaded. Persuaded meaning they believe, they were convinced, they were confident. And in that, they embraced. You know what to embrace is? If somebody embraces you, what are they doing? They're drawing you, they're pressing you to your bosom. You're embracing them. So they were confident of them, and then they took them and embraced them to their bosom. They laid seize on them. They held them. That moved them to confess that they were strangers and pilgrims. Big difference. I am a stranger in the earth. The more I looked into this, the more I thought, Lord, this verse actually, like all God's truths, goes to a depth that actually we could never fathom or could never have. There's a lot of things that makes us know and be assured that we're strangers in the earth. Not only our love and devotion and desire for God's word, but how we respond to tragedies in life, troubles in life, how we respond to situations in life. Where do we turn to? What do we do? The Christian turns to the word of God. And I found there's a lot of people who profess loudly Christianity, but when trouble and afflictions come, they don't turn to the word of God. They turn to their own opinions, their own understanding, their own ideas, their own strength. And not to the word, they don't turn to the word of God. Those things should teach us to turn to God's word. Not only find comfort, and most Christians in times of trouble, unfortunately, looking solely for comfort. I want us to see that later on in Psalm 130. Though the psalmist cries from the depths, he's in a dark place. What's the first thing out of his mouth? If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, He's looking at the honor and glory of God. He's not saying, oh God, get me out of this darkness. Please help me, comfort me, show me a way out. He goes, no. First thing he does, he looks to the honor and glory of God. If you would mark iniquity, nobody should stand, but there's forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Therefore, I'll wait on the Lord. That's confidence. That's faith in God's word. There's more theology in that one little psalm than in most Christians. But that's what the psalmist is. There's a lot of things that makes us strange. And it revolves mostly around our love and devotion to God's word. Our desire to keep it. Now with that said, now understand the psalmist's cry when he says in the latter part of this, I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. And when I first began pondering this verse, I thought, that's a strange request. Is the psalmist implying that God would deliberately or in spite hide his commandments from him? You know, like sometimes we play around, we hide things. Children might hide things from one another, like hide and go seek or whatever it might be. Is the psalmist saying that God would deliberately and in spite hide things from him to purposely keep from him? I don't believe that's what the psalmist is saying. I believe it's a humble petition of one who would desire that God reveal unto him every and all commandments of God, regardless of what they might be or lead him to. I believe he's simply saying, don't hide any commandment from me, regardless if it's for my comfort, fleshly speaking, or whether it's for my affliction, or whether it's for my trial, for my hope, my happiness, no matter what. Your commandments are so good and great, I don't want any hid from me. Let me know everything. That is an amazing request. The example of that is seen in Solomon when he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there's any wicked way. Now, again, I bring to your remembrance. Some also talks about in Isaiah, Jeremiah, other passages, how desperately wicked the heart is. None can know it. It's an abyss of wickedness and sin. And yet David says, God, this is how much I have faith and trust in you and your commandments. Search it thoroughly. Know it. This is faith of the greatest essence. This is why faith must be a gift of God. It cannot come from ourselves. Men are foolish to believe faith comes from man himself. It's a gift of God because it's a gift of God, and because we have faith in Christ Jesus and in his righteousness and in his salvation, we can approach God before the very throne of God in all his holiness, righteousness, and judgment, and still say, but there is forgiveness with thee. Amazing. Look over in Genesis chapter 18. I'll give you an example. Genesis chapter 18. Hide not thy commandments from me. Let me know everything. I want to know it all. Reveal everything to me. Genesis chapter 18. Look at verse 17 when the angels are on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah. Look what the Lord says in verse 17. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Now, you're reading on before me, that's okay, but stop there for a minute. In other words, the Lord's saying, I can conceal this from him. I have the right. I can choose not to reveal unto Abraham what I'm fixing to do. And it's amazing that he uses that wording just like the psalmist, hide not. But he says, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him. That's a wonderful text. That he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which is spoken unto him. So you see here, the Lord says, I have the ability, the authority, the right to hide something from Abraham, but I choose not to. I'm going to reveal that unto Abraham. And so the psalmist's petition in Psalm 119 is basically the same. Lord, hide nothing from me of your commandments. God sovereignly chose not to hide from Abraham his divine judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah, because the scripture says he knew Abraham would command his children and his household to keep the way of the Lord. And beloved, here in lies a very important and significant truth concerning God's word in prayer. Have we ever prayed in such a manner as what the psalmist speaks this morning? Lord, hide nothing from me. I wish to know all your commandments. That humble submissiveness to whatever God sovereignly decrees or commands of me, I want to know it all. I want to follow you thoroughly, wholly. Hide nothing from me. the words of the psalmist and his desire that God not hide his commandments from him should be echoed by every true believer every time we pray and seek God's will and guidance in all aspects of life. Hide nothing from me. Whether it goes ill with me because of my failures and weaknesses, or whether it goes well with me, I desire to know your commandments, all of them. The psalmist, like every true believer, was a stranger in the earth. And our only comfort, our only hope, our only refuge throughout this pilgrimage, throughout this sojourning, is God's commandments. That's what he's saying. I'm a stranger in the earth. I'm a stranger to everybody and everything around me. The only thing that I find comfort and refuge in is your commandments. Therefore, hide them not from me. That's my only comfort. It's kind of strange in a way that in verse 11, the psalmist himself would hide God's word in his heart, that he might not sin against God. Yet now, speaking as a stranger in the earth, he beseeches God that he not hide his word from him during his pilgrimage. So I'll hide it in my heart, but don't hide it from me. Don't you want to know everything God wants you to know? Don't you want to know as much as you can about God, regardless of the consequences on the flesh? Don't we want to know everything about God? A lot of Christians, God knowing our hearts and our minds, don't want to know everything. Tragedy and afflictions come, they're kind of afraid to walk into that depth. They're kind of afraid to walk into that and address God as saying, God, whatever you want. They'd like to stand on the outside and pray that God somehow find a way to go around it, rather than say, Lord, whatever you want. And we see this spirit in Psalm 130 after he says, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Therefore, I'll wait on the Lord. I wait for the Lord patiently. My soul doth wait in his word. He waited. And so the psalmist here says the same thing. Where would I be as a stranger in the world without the comforts of thy commandments? Like I said, all men in reality are strangers and pilgrims, sojourners in the earth. For beloved, no man has a permanent dwelling or residence here, but all men are simply passing through, and that with the swiftest and most fleeting of time. We're all strangers and pilgrims here. Do you know that? It's amazing. I hate to say that, but I feel a need to say that. Because I fear that in this room with this number of people, some of us, we're all strangers and pilgrims. We're just sojourning through this present life. Some of us are sojourning on the straight and narrow way to eternal happiness and bliss with God. And some of you are on the broad way to hell and destruction. What a mixture of people. Isn't it amazing? What a mixture of people. That you would have the saints of God in the midst of others who desire not God, who love not God, who know not God. And though we're all strangers in this world, at the end of each pathway, our ways will separate. And some of you will go off into eternal destruction if you do not repent and turn to Christ. And some of us will be led to everlasting life. We're all strangers. You're not here but for a fleeting moment. I'm young, preacher. So was I. I have time. That's what I thought. All men are like the grass, which in the morning it flourisheth and grows up, yet in the evening it is cast down and withereth. As witnessed this morning. I got to think about that verse this morning. I thought, you're witnessing that this morning. You have the withering of the grass before your very eyes. We're withering. Sister and I was talking earlier about the change of the seasons. The leaves are beginning to wrinkle and fade and slowly die off. It's like life. We're in the autumn of life. You're witnessing that. But you know, we were once young like you. Ran around and played. Had life. Enjoyed it. Seemed to have no cares. I want you to notice those withering around you. Because if the Lord delays His coming, it shall happen to you more quickly than you think. And yet there's no promise that you'll live to be our age. You're a stranger in the earth. Don't be a stranger to heaven. Amen? Don't be a stranger to heaven. I am a stranger in the earth. A blessing for a child of God. This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. The sands of time are sinking. One day very soon, if the Lord not come back and natural things take over, some of us in this room will be in the presence of the Lord before you will. We go the way of all the earth. Some of us to heaven, some of us to eternal destruction. You're a stranger in the earth. Don't be a stranger to God. Amen. So remember that, child of God. I'm a stranger in the earth. Repeat that over and over. Whenever something happens in life, good or bad, usually when it's bad, say, I'm a stranger in the earth. Just remind yourself. I'm not here long. I'm a sojourner. I'm heading towards those hills of Zion. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we do thank you for the psalmist once again. Lord, how he reminds us, Lord, that which makes us as God's children strangers in the earth is not so much what we can do or say, but Lord, it's what we have in our hearts and our minds. It's our love and devotion, adoration for God, His Word. Lord, I pray that, Father, you'd help remind us this next week, whenever we're facing life's challenges, may these words of the psalmist echo in our heart. I'm but a stranger. Hide not thy commandments from me. And Lord, those this morning that know not Christ, I pray they'd look under their feet spiritually this morning and see that they're on the broad way to hell. And Lord, I pray that you'd remind them, Lord, of the swiftness of this fleeting life. And Lord, I pray that you'd help them to see they need to cry out now. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, today. Not next week, today, before it's too late. That they might go from that broad way to the narrow way and join those voices of Zion as we travel and march towards our heavenly home. Father, bless now in the next hour, we pray. May you be honored and glorified in all we say and do in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We got